The two witnesses of Revelation, what we're going to talk about today, the two witnesses of the book of Revelation. The two witnesses of the book of Revelation. Brother Montana, would you mind coming up here and leading this prayer, brother? We got our missionary here home on vacation for the summer from the seminary and Dallas Theological Seminary. Is that it?
Yep.
All right. So we make use of you.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you we get to come here and fellowship and learn about you. I pray you'll just bless this time and that you'll just help us to just open up our hearts and to learn about you and in your name.
Amen. Well, as you can tell, I'm crippling around worse than I was the other day. I won't have a class this afternoon because I don't think I can make it. And they didn't want me to do it anyway because they're fixing the vacation Bible school. And we won't be here Wednesday because of the vacation Bible school, but we will be out there Friday and Saturday. Friday, we'll be baptizing Stephen Reagan, Dakota's future husband. And Saturday, they're going to get married. And so pray that I can stay on my two pegs while I can do all of that. I've had a time this last week with my hip. Radiation just ruined me. And it was very scary coming to church this morning. I wasn't driving. Well, I won't say. But I was scared to death all the way here. I was hoping the rapture would take place. Revelation 11th chapter. We got one car in the auto shop right now, and I didn't need another one in there. The other day she came in the car in the yard, and she couldn't see where she was going, and she ran into the dumpster. $3,610 worth. But somebody moved the dumpster. Yeah, they did. They moved. That dumpster was right in her way. Anyway, I thought a lot of other things were going to get in the way today. But I couldn't drive. My right foot won't work. Revelation 11 and 1. We're going to talk about the two witnesses of Revelation today, and there's all kinds of ideas who they are. And I mean, people will be dogmatic about who they are. And I don't know, but I'm going to tell you who they might be, okay? And who they might not be, whatever. We're going to look at that today. And this is a pretty important class. Revelation 11, 1, I'm going to read it from Greek, because it's pretty good from Greek. I'm going to translate it, that is, but... And it was given to me a kalamos. Kalamos is a reed, and it's a measuring device. Okay, this kalamos, or this reed, measuring device. Homeos, like a rabdo, like a rod. Okay? And a rod is a measuring device also. Different times in the history of America, they went out with a chain and rods and measured the whole country. All right, here and there. Louisiana Purchase, all different kinds of stuff. States, how they have boundaries in states, that was all measured. Okay? And this is the term right here. You raise up and you measure the holy place, the Naos, the dwelling place of God. Okay? The dwelling place belonging to the God and the sacrificial altar. And the ones worshiping in Him, literally, is what it says. Verse number 2 says, and the court, the outside court of the holy dwelling place, you throw out outside, and on it you may measure because it was given to the nations, to the Gentiles, and the city, called the holy city for 3.5 years, basically. And I shall give to the two witnesses of me, and they shall prophesy. Basically, 3 1/2 years. That's how many days. All right? 1,260 days. Having been clothed in sackcloth. Okay? Sackcloth is what? It's rough cloth that people, when they were in mourning, they didn't put on their best clothes, they put on sackcloth. And these, verse number 4, they are the two olive and the two lampstands, the ones in the presence of the Lord of the earth having stood. All right? And if anyone, them he wishes to harm, fire it proceeds out of the mouth of them, and it devours and eats up and disintegrates the enemies of them. And if anyone he may wish them to hurt or to do harm in the same matter, it is binding less necessary him to be killed. All right? And these ones, it says here, they have, they continue to have, they will always have the exousion. Brother Abe, exousion. This is a very, very, a very beautiful Greek word. All right? Exousion. Right on the front of that word is what? Out of. Like on that sign, X there. Out of it is what it literally means. Out of it. You have literally out of it. But it's a very beautiful word. Out of being. What it means, you're not subject to anything. Nothing. You have no subjection. You have authority. You have omnipotent authority. Exousia. You have sovereign powers. You have independent control. You have prerogative. You are not subject to anything or any other power. Exousia. All right? You have privilege. You have license. You have energy. Brother Abe, energy. And you have energy to spare. You have all the energy you will ever need. Period. It's on page 146 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. Okay? All the energy possible that you will possibly need. Unlimited power. Nothing nor anything has authority over you. And they have exousia, omnipotent, sovereign control to shut the heavens. To shut up the heaven. In order that not rain it may fall during this period of time of the prophecy of them. And their authority. And they have over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike and beat the earth with every plague, whatever they may wish to do. And whenever they may finish the witness of them, the beast, the one coming up out of the abysson, out of the abyss, that's right, comes right out of Greek. That means bottomless pit, no bottom. He shall make with them war. And he shall overcome them, and he shall kill them. The devil, the beast, is going to kill these two witnesses of God. Okay? And the corpse of them upon the open streets of the city. Now, what city is that? What city is this? Where are they going to prophesy? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Not New York City, not any place else, but in Jerusalem. Okay? Right over there in Israel, in the city of Jerusalem. And their bodies are going to lay there, and the whole world is going to see them. Now, that is possible today, isn't it? The whole world can see their bodies. They will have this on television, and it will be transmitted to the whole world, and the whole world will see the power of Satan. That he has killed these two witnesses of God. He's killed them. And they lay there. Okay? And they lay there. This great city, which is called spiritually Sodom. Boy, that's something. Sodom was what? That was a horrible city. We call Sodomites today. We have these people, all of the different terms for horrible, sinful license. And Egypt. This word Egyptos here is not Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim, Brother Roger? That's right. Land of red mud and canal banks. Mitzrayim in Greek is Egyptos. Okay? So it's using that word here. Where indeed the Lord of them, he was crucified. Now I want you to understand, it is drawing an absolute parallel between these two witnesses and the Lord's death. Is it not? All right? Now, we're going to find out how long he laid in the grave. Types don't change. If you change the numbers, you do violence to the type. How long was Jesus in the grave? 3.5 days. 3.5 days. How long was Jonah in the belly of the Leviathan or the great fish or whatever was it? 3 days. Basically 3.5 days also. Now these witnesses are going to be on the street dead. Laid out there dead. For 3.5 days. And they see among the peoples of them, every tribe and language, and of all the nations, the corpses of them, days 3.5, and the corpses of them not, they were allowed to be placed in tombs. They laid out there in the street. And the ones dwelling upon the earth, they rejoice over them. And they are glad and they are happy. And now we're going to have Hanukkah. We're going to have a Hanukkah celebration. What do they do in Hanukkah? We get our tradition of Christmas from Hanukkah. What do they do in Hanukkah?
Spin the dreidel and give gifts.
They give gifts. And that's exactly what they're going to do. There's going to be some Jews involved in this. Okay? The Jews are going to be involved in this. They're going to celebrate Hanukkah now. And the gifts they shall send to one another, because these two prophets, they tormented the ones dwelling upon, down homing upon the earth. Israel has celebrated Hanukkah since 185 B.C. I think this may be the last time they ever celebrate. This may be the last celebration. Okay? But now the devil thinks that he has won the victory over God, and he celebrates his Hanukkah, for he thinks he has overcome the Jews and God's witnesses. And of course, some of those Jews are going to be following him because he's what? He is their Messiah. All right? Hanukkah is the Feast of the Lights. Remember that? That's where the Maccabees went in and they took back over the city, and they took over and they went in and they started celebrating the feast. And they had to have enough oil, and God gave them a miracle and provided oil because they didn't have any consecrated oil. And of course, they couldn't go out and make any more olive oil because it would be a death sentence. All right? Let's go back now and let's look and see about some of these witnesses. And then we'll finish the chapter. Let's look and see who some of these two witnesses are. Could be. All right? Who the two witnesses could be. One of the pastors that I had one time, he said, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch and Elijah. Because they never died. They didn't die. Enoch and Elijah didn't die. And the book of Hebrews said what? And it is appointed unto man wants to die, and then after that, the judgment. So Enoch and Elijah didn't die. Why did not Enoch and Elijah die? Why didn't they die? What happened to them?
They were raptured.
They were raptured, taken up. Okay. Now, This, let me tell you this right off the bat. I don't think it's Enoch and Elijah, because it's going to do violence to the type that Enoch and Elijah were a type of the rapture, okay? If he's going to send them back and get killed, would that be a better, that would do violence to the type of the rapture that they are a type of. So, but we'll look at that anyway. And 10 and verse 11, I want you to go back. I would like some of you to look up some scriptures for me. Revelation 10 and verse 11, somebody do that. Zechariah 14 and 1 through 14. John 21, 21 and 22. Daniel 12. 4 through 13, mainly, especially 13. Malachi 4 and 5. Matthew 17 and 3 through 11. Mark 9 and 4. Mark 15, 35 and 36. Acts 1, 9 through 11. These are some of the scriptures now. If you got some of them down, let's see who's got Revelation 10 and verse 11. That's really easy. Isaiah, can you come up here? Because they can't. The microphone won't pick you up there. All right. Revelation 10 and verse 11. I want you to see now. Now, John is speaking. This is the book of Revelation. John is writing the book of Revelation, okay?
And they said to me, "You must prophesy again concerning many people and nations and tongues and kings."
Okay. Now, "You shall prophesy again." Now, many people say, because it says there in the book of Revelation that John shall prophesy again, that John has to be one of the two witnesses. All right? That's one of the absolutely. Now, look at John 21, 21 and 2. John 21, 21 and 2. Who has that one? John 21, 21 and 2. John 21. David, do you have that one? Oh, you got Malachi. All right, John 21, 21, and 22.
No, I already have Malachi. It's got to
be in order,
right? Huh? They all got to be in order. Right?
Well, I'd like to have this one, Malachi, or not Malachi, John 21, 21, and 22, because we're talking about John.
I'll do John, and can I do Zechariah after that?
Come on right up here, brother. Well, Zechariah is different.
What is it, John 21?
Zechariah could be one of the witnesses, see?
What is John what?
John 21, 21 and 22. Now, if you read Revelation 10, 4 through 11, it tells you the whole story that John could be one of these people. And then here in John, the 10th chapter, or the 21st chapter, that is.
21, 2. Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me."
All right. So now there, some people say, well, that's John. John could be one of the two witnesses. Okay? And let's don't go to the other one yet. We're not ready yet, brother. So here we have John. Could John be a valid witness? That's possible. I wouldn't say absolutely that he is, but it's possible. Okay? That's one of the probabilities of the two witnesses. But John has continued to witness ever since he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, hasn't he? Has he witnessed? We are reading his writings today, so is he witnessing today? Sure he is. Alright? Let's go on a little further. There's a lot of speculation about these two witnesses. Some believe that Zechariah will be one of the two witnesses of Revelation, referring to back to Zechariah 14, 1 through 14. Now, Zechariah, who had that one? Zechariah 14. Who had Zechariah 14? 1 through 14. 14 is actually the... Are you there, Brother Roger?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just want 14?
Yeah, we can go all the way from 1 through 14. Read 14.
Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered, gold and silver and garments in great abundance.
All right. We find out now, this is Zechariah. Some people think that Zechariah 14, 1 through 14, there was 14, wasn't it? Anyway, he talks all about it, and he talks about the end times and what's going to happen in the end times. And they say Zechariah could be one of the two witnesses, according to Zechariah 14, 1 through 14, and that's what they use as a proof text. Okay? Now, and Zerubbabel will be his fellow witness, Zerubbabel and Zechariah. Is this new to some of you? I'm giving you all of these. Now, we're talking about all of the options here. All right? Others believe that John and Daniel, Zerubbabel and Zechariah, and John and Daniel. All right? And the book of Daniel. All right? Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and 4 through 13. The book of Daniel. Of course, they use, again, the proof text of Revelation 10 and verse 11. All right, now let's look at Daniel 12, 4 through 13. Who's got the book of Daniel? Young lady, do you have the book of Daniel? No. All right. Do you have the book of Daniel there?
I do, but my eyes are so bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Who wants it? Devonnie, you want to do that? No. All right. How about you, Montana? Do you have that one? Daniel?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay. Daniel 12, 4 through 13. Daniel 12, 4 through 13. Can you come up here, Montana? The next one's Malachi 4 and 5, and then Matthew 17, 3, and Mark 9 and 4, and another Mark. All right. You have that yet, Montana? Did somebody steal the book of Daniel out of your book? That happens to me every now and then. Daniel 12. They think that John and Daniel will be the two witnesses. Look and see what Daniel has to say about this.
Daniel 12 what?
Daniel 12, 4 through 13.
But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end may shift. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, and how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, and it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and stand in your allotment, or in your allotted place at the end of the days.
They say Daniel's one of them. You see how it could be Daniel? All right. Now John and Daniel, they died, but whoever these two witnesses are going to get to die, because they're going to be killed. Okay? So we got John and Daniel, we got Zechariah and Zerubbabel, and that's not all. Who else? All right. Let's go on a little bit further. Still yet, some believe that Elijah and Moses shall be the two witnesses of Revelation because they were raised to witness during Christ's ministry on what? On the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah and Moses were there, weren't they? Elijah and Moses were there. All right, they were witnessing about his coming death. All right, and they think again that these two people will stand again during the tribulation period. Malachi 4 and 5. Let's go to Malachi 4 and 5. That's an easy book. That's the last book before the New Testament in it. Malachi 4 and 5. Who has that? Now, David, come right up here. Now, Roger might be able to read that in Hebrew.
Okay, Malachi 4 and 5. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse.
All right, now that's one of the last words written in the Old Testament. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And Israel is still looking for Elijah, aren't they? Could Elijah really be a legitimate person? But maybe this was already fulfilled. You think it might have been fulfilled already? Who was the Elijah that fulfilled this prophecy? John the Baptist fulfilled that prophecy. All right? So, it's possible, but logically, no. Okay? Because John the Baptist was Elijah. And Jesus said himself, they said, Elijah is supposed to come. And I tell you, he said, and I tell you what, Elijah has what? Has already come. And he was John the Baptist. All right? Elijah came forth in John the Baptist. But it's Malachi 4 and 5. How about Matthew 17 and verse 3 through 11? Matthew 17, 3 through 11. Are you enjoying this? You understanding this a little bit better? All right. Who has that one? Rex, you have that one? Nope. All right. Lana? I haven't got you up here. I haven't got you up here yet. We have to do that later. Oh, you can't see. I can't either, see. There's all kinds of spots out there in front of me. How about you? That young lady does a good job reading. All right. Come right up here. She's done this before. Right up here before.
17 and 3?
Matthew 17, 3 through 11.
And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them, with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things.
All right. Now see, there is some evidence that Elijah might be the one, but we believe that Elijah was John the Baptist. Okay? And Elijah, did Elijah restore all things? How did Elijah restore all things when he came? He gave Israel the king. And of course, Israel rejected their king, didn't he? And he said, I came in my Father's name, and you would not have me. You would not believe my words. He that comes in his own power and his own name, you will heartily, open-heartedly receive. And who is that? That is the devil in flesh. That's the Antichrist. The devil will procreate with a woman and bring forth his child on this earth. And that child, like God the Son redeemed the world back to himself. And he's in the process of taking it back right now. These are the things that we have to go through. There is an order in which God will bring forth and redeem everything back to himself for all the universe. Mark 9 and verse 4. Mark 9 and 4 and Mark 15, 35 and 6. All right. 9 and 4 is a real short one, young lady. Do you think you could read that one? Mark 9 and 4? No. Mark 9 and 4. Who's got Mark 9 and 4? Young lady, do you have that, Mark 9 and 4?
Yeah.
Okay, come right up here. We have to get your mother up here. Your mother's one sings like that angel, you know. That girl can sing like an angel.
Mark
9 and 4. I wonder if she can read like an angel.
And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Elijah and Moses. These are the two ones that were raised, and they were talking to Jesus. Okay, Mark 15, are you there? Are you there, young lady? Mark 15, 35 and 36. You want him to come up here and read it? All right. See, pretty good. 15, 35 and 36. I'd love to get you up here just to sing a couple of those beautiful notes. I'll tell you, you can sing.
Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down."
All right. Now here they kept looking for Elijah to come. These are the Jews. And they said, and Jesus actually quoted Psalm 22. He quoted it in two languages. What were the two languages that he quoted it in? Tell me. What are the two languages that he quoted? He said it twice. Aramaic and Hebrew. He quoted in Aramaic and he quoted it in Hebrew. All right? And when he quoted one verse, he meant the whole book, the whole Psalm. Psalm 22 and verse 1 on. It says, Eli Eli lama sabachthani and Eloi Eloi lama sabachthani. The two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic, and they sound pretty close, don't they? All right? Acts 1, 9 through 11. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Let's go there. Acts 1, 9 through 11. We're talking about Elijah and Moses now. Elijah and Moses. Elijah means what? What does Elijah mean? What does Elijah mean?
God.
What?
God
is God. It says, El is Jehovah. God is God. That's what Elijah means. God is Jehovah. All right? God is Jehovah. Who's got Acts 1, 9 through 11? Acts 1, 9 through 11. John, Brother Mike? Acts 1, 9 through 11. Acts 1, 9 to 11. It's right next to John, you know.
And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. And these also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven."
All right. Now, there's two things here. That's a double whammy, okay? First of all, they could be two men. The two men were who? Maybe Moses and Elijah. Who else could they be? Angels look like what? Angels look like men. They could be two angels. Now, some people say that they could be two angels come down to earth. Now, we don't think that angels can be killed. But evidently, whoever this is, whether it's two angels or whatever it is, they're going to lay dead in the street. Okay? I don't know if angels can kill each other. I don't know that because the Bible doesn't tell me anything about it. But I know there's things in there that we don't know, isn't there? Lots of stuff in the Bible we don't know. All right, the two witnesses. These two witnesses do miracles in their ministry that they perform during the tribulation period, just like Elijah and Moses did. What did Elijah do? He called fire down out of heaven. He had fire kill people. They killed all the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel, didn't they? Didn't he do that? Okay, he had a contest with them. Elijah had a contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. What is the book of Revelation all about? It's a contest between Jesus Christ and the devil. Isn't it? What was going on there in Egypt between Moses and Pharaoh? There's a contest there between Moses representing Jehovah and Pharaoh representing all of the pagan gods of Egypt. Guess who won that one? You know, Jesus never lost a battle. Not a battle. Even when he died on the cross of Calvary, he did not lose that battle. He didn't kill him forever. He rose. He raised himself. Says, all right. Still further, there are some who believe that Elijah and Enoch will be the two witnesses because they had never yet seen death, according to Hebrews 9 and 27. That's what I told you a little earlier. And it's appointed all men once to die, and after that to judgment. So they say that they could be the two witnesses. All right? I believe that Elijah and Enoch are a type of the rapture that's going to take place. Now, do you know what? There's some people don't believe in the rapture, do they? Some people don't believe in the rapture. You've got friends of yours that don't believe in the rapture, Brother Roger. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the millennium. That's what you call amillennialists and all non-rapture people, okay? They don't believe in that. Okay? Now, some people say that John and Elijah represent the New Testament prophet and the Old Testament prophet, John and Elijah. Okay? John is the New Testament prophet, and Elijah is an Old Testament prophet. So they say that these two, the olive tree and the lampstand, represent the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I'm totally confused on all of these witnesses. I want you to understand that right now. I don't know who they are, but I'm giving you evidence what people think, okay? I don't believe it's Elijah and Enoch because they're a type of the rapture. But it could be any of these others, okay? Could be any of these others. How many times did Paul die? Huh? How many times did Paul die? How many times did the Apostle Paul die? Huh? No. He didn't die one time. How many times did the Apostle Paul die?
Died in the shipwreck, didn't he?
No. He was stoned to death. He was stoned to death one time, and they left him in a garbage pit. What?
He was left for dead, right?
He was left for dead, but he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, was caught up in the third heaven. You get caught up in the third heaven, and I'm going to tell you something, you're gone. Paul the Apostle saw things. He was dead. His body was stoned to death. And he went up to heaven. And he saw things that it was not lawful, not permitted, exousia. It's not permitted for me to say. I saw things, tremendous things. And then he went back into his body, and he went on and did his ministry. So Paul the Apostle, he died by stoning, and he died by decapitation. Two times the Apostle Paul died. So is it possible for a man to die twice in the Bible? We have an example of the Apostle Paul dying twice. Okay. Could John die and Daniel? Daniel died. John died. All right, John died. He was 130-something years old, they say. Historical records say that John was about 138 years old when he died. He lived longer than any other apostle. And he was a pastor at Ephesus for many, many years. And he took care of Mary until she died and buried her there at Ephesus. She wasn't caught up in the heaven. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes. Second time Paul died, he stayed dead. Okay? But he's with the Lord today. His body is still in the grave someplace. But Paul died two times. Okay? He died twice. The book of Corinthians, he tells us that he died. He said, I knew a man whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know, was caught up to the third heaven. He saw things that were unbelievable. He's talking about himself. Now the Apostle Paul, from all of his beatings, he was beat with a cat of nine tails several times. That man really went through the ringer, people. You talk about us going through tribulation and trials. Get killed twice. All right? I dare you to get killed twice. Like the Apostle Paul did. Okay? Could Paul be one of the witnesses? He could be. I guarantee you one thing about the Apostle Paul. If God raised him and sent him back as a witness, he'd be willing to die again a third time. Wouldn't he? That was quite a guy. The Apostle Paul. All right. John and Elijah, some piece. One referencing the Old Testament, New Testament. Still others say that the two witnesses will be two individuals that live during this period of time, and God will use them to fulfill His purposes. That they are just two people that are alive on the earth at that period of time, and God will give them great exousia, great unlimited power and authority, and He will inspire them what to say. That's very possible for God to do that, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. All right. Now, some people don't believe in the rapture at the beginning of the week. Now, this is the tribulation right here. Now, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture because it makes sense. And it makes biblical sense. It makes hermeneutic sense and all of that, okay? Now, the man that drew up this chart talked about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he tells that there's going to be a rapture right at the end of the church age, and then begins the tribulation period. The tribulation period is coming upon Israel to bring them back to God. For 7 years, there's going to be a tribulation period upon earth, and in that 7 years, there's going to be a wedding feast in heaven, in the third heaven, where the bride will be united to her husband, which is the bride, is the church. There will be many guests at the wedding. There will be many Old Testament guests. There will be, and by the way, this is when the resurrection takes place too, isn't it? So here we have a lot of Old Testament saints resurrected. We have the bride during the church age, which is a very unique opportunity to be in a closeness with Christ Jesus for all eternity like none other have ever had. That's how important the church age is. Alright? It's very important. You could be in a relationship with God if you give your life to God. It takes dedication. You're going to be in the bride, you have to give it all. And you're going to have to really... That's the bride. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. The bride, it says, has made herself ready. What tense is that, do you think, Brother Roger? Middle voice. She has made herself ready. Now, you don't get yourself to heaven, do you? That's done by Jesus Christ. But the bride has made herself ready, and she will rule and reign with Christ forever. Forever. Not for 1,000 years, not for 2,000 years, not for 10,000 years, but forever. She will have a closeness to Jesus Christ like none other has ever had the opportunity in the history of the world. Divorce. Did God ever get a divorce? Yeah. God got a divorce. God is a divorced person. Did you know that? Who did He divorce? Israel. He divorced Israel. Israel had the chance to be His bride. Israel will never be the bride. Never, never will Israel be the bride again. She is put away. But because of the promise of the fathers, Israel has a place in the economy of God in the end times. Okay? Israel, this whole tribulation period is to bring Israel to God so that He can use them. Two out of every Jews is going to be killed during the tribulation period. Two out of every three. Put three fingers up. Two out of every three are going to get killed. That's a lot of people. All right? In the city right here, it says the city of Jerusalem, during this period of time, there's going to be 70,000 people in that city, living in the city of Jerusalem. And it says that one-tenth of them are going to be killed at this time. And now, how many are going to be killed? The Bible tells us exactly how many are going to die in that earthquake there. One-tenth, which is 7,000 people, are going to die in the city of Jerusalem by an earthquake. That's real good prophecy. I believe that. I know that's going to happen. All right? Now, some people believe that there's the Bible in 8 Ages book that I have, the guy that wrote the book, when it comes to the end times and the second coming of Christ, he believes that the rapture will take place in the middle of the week. Okay. Now it says that the coming of the Son of Man, nobody knows. We agree with that? Okay. Now, if, and how do we know what is the beginning of the tribulation period? What takes place? The beginning of the tribulation period. What happens? How do we know we're there? What does the Bible say? That the man of sin, that the Antichrist, comes forth and he makes a covenant with Israel. Do you know when that covenant is going to be? Exactly? When it happens, you will know. So you can count 3.5 years and you can tell when the rapture is going to take place, couldn't you? All right? And that's what the man of sin is going to be shown right here, okay? Right here. And 3.5 years later, what's going to take place? The abomination desolation. That's when this person stands in the temple in Jerusalem. There's a temple in Jerusalem. And the temple in Jerusalem is the Antichrist temple. You can make contributions. I got it up there on the website, or up on the board up there, where you can make contributions for Israel to build their temple again. Did you know that? You can make contributions for it today, but it's going to be the Antichrist temple. That's whose temple it's going to be. And the Antichrist is going to stand in that temple that people are making contributions to build, and he's going to declare himself to be God. That's in the middle of the tribulation period, the 3.5 year part. So now let's look here. Some people believe that the rapture takes place up here. Some people believe that the rapture takes place here. If the rapture takes place here, the rapture is not imminent. It's not threatening to happen any time, since it's got to be over here, the 3.5 years. All right, now if it's at the end of the week, if the rapture takes place here, okay, there are some people believe that the church has to go through the tribulation period, but that would do violence to the whole thing about the 7-year wedding feast and all that kind of stuff. Where does it go? It's not there. It's not there if you don't have it. If you don't have the church raptured here, there is no wedding feast. There is no 7-year wedding feast in heaven while the tribulation period is coming on the earth. If it's right here in the middle of the week, we know when that's going to happen, because that's 3.5 years after the Antichrist shows himself. We know when the end of the week rapture, or the end of the week rapture, if it was to take place right then, which I don't believe in, because it's 7 years from this period of time and 3.5 years from that period of time. You know when it is. Alright? Now some people believe if the two witnesses in Revelation, those that believe in the last of the week rapture, that the church is going to go all the way through the tribulation period, that God's going to send his bride all there, and that this actually gets Israel ready, so the two witnesses are Israel and the church. You understand that? If they believe in the end of the week rapture, they believe the rapture is going to take place here, because they believe in the seventh trump. The rapture is the seventh trump. But there's a whole lot of trumps, people. Okay? Now let's go on a little bit further. Some people believe that the two witnesses are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. How is the devil going to kill the Word of God and kill the Holy Spirit in the street? These got to be two physical individuals, okay? And they have to be killed, all right? They have to be killed and laying out there in the street. Now that is the greatest, most valid representative of how long Jesus was in the tomb. I believe that he was crucified on Wednesday, all right, and that he was raised very early Sunday morning, which was basically 3.5 days. Which he said, "I'll give you he said, "I won't give you any miracle except the sign of Jonah, for Jonah was in the belly of the great fish or Leviathan for 3 days, and then spit out on the shores of Nineveh." However, he got there. Let's go on back in Revelation again now. Verse number 4. And these are the ones, the two olive trees, and the two lampstands. (Clears throat) two olive trees and the two lampstands. We're almost finished for today. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth, and they devour their enemies as if one would desire to harm them. In this manner they must be killed. And these have power, exousia, to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall during the day's prophecy, like Elijah did. And they have power to turn the waters into blood, like Moses did. Could it be Aaron that was raised up? Who actually turned the waters into blood? Wasn't Moses, was it? It was Aaron. Could Aaron be one of the two witnesses? That's possible. Could God raise him up to be one of the two witnesses? Aaron? Who performed all the miracles in Egypt? Aaron. Okay. We got a lot of people down here, don't we? Who these two witnesses could be. And they have power over the waters, turn them in blood, and to smite the earth with every plague. Who smited the earth in the land of Egypt with the plagues? Aaron. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them, and we will kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is mystically called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. This is a direct type of how long Christ was in the grave. Okay? And those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations shall look upon their dead bodies all over the world. Could this have happened in 1850? Could it happen in 1900? No. How about 1950? There was enough televisions going on right then, but news media wasn't quite good enough to do it. They had to tape it and record it and replay it. But they're going to watch them as they're dead. They're going to watch everything. This is live. Can they do that today? Sure they can. And they will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their bodies to be laid in the tomb. And those who dwell upon the earth will rejoice over them and make merry, and they will send gifts to one another. Hanukkah will be celebrated. All right? And make merry, and they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwelled upon the earth. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet. And great fear fell upon those who were beholding them. Now they're going to see life come back in them, too. Now they're dead for 3.5 days. How long was Lazarus dead? How long? About 4 days. 3.5 days, actually. The Lord raised him from the dead, didn't he? Put him back in the body. Did Lazarus actually die? Sure he died. God raised him from the dead. Did he have to die again? We don't know. He might have taken him back with him when he went back to heaven, because there was a lot of other people raised. Did the Jews try to kill Lazarus after he was raised? Yes, they sought to kill him too. Verse number 12 now. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up into the heaven and the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That's just like Jesus. See, this is all the type of what happened in Jerusalem. And in the hour that there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. A tenth means, so you have to be 10 times 7, which is 70,000 people were living in the city. A tenth of the population of the city died. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe is coming. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices from heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And 24 elders sit on their thrones before God and fell on their faces and worshiped God. We give thanks to thee, O Lord God the Almighty." What in Hebrew, what would this be, Brother Roger? O Lord God. O Jehovah Elohim. And then the Almighty, El Shaddai, who art, who was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign. Remember, John uses a whole lot of Hebraisms. And the nations were enraged, and the wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give the reward to the bondservants of the prophets and to the saints, and those who are here fear the name, and the small and the great, to destroy those who who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened up, and the Ark of the Covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sound and peals of thunder and an earthquake and great hailstorm. We're going to go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, next week, if I'm alive, to teach it to you. All right. Do you have any questions? Any questions at all? I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you're not totally confused, because I don't know who the two witnesses of Revelation are. I just don't know. But I have told you a whole lot. We have everything from Aaron, Enoch, Elijah, Moses, Zerubbabel, Zechariah, John, Daniel. Whole bunch of them. All right. Brother David.
Will there be class on Wednesday night?
No, there won't be any class on Wednesday night because they won't let it set up. I won't have a class this afternoon because they don't really want to set it up and my hip is too bad.
Yeah.
They're right back.